Amen. And then I'd like to turn this over to Andy Burnham. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it. Well, good morning, or as we say in Germany, guten Morgen. So my wife is German, and so I spent a couple of years in Germany, so I'm glad to see the German group is growing here. Ja, ein bisschen. What book of the Bible are we in? That was very unenthusiastic. We're in Paul's letter, his first letter to the Corinthian church. How many letters are there?
Two,
and then there were some that were probably written but maybe lost, but we have two left. And we're going to go through both 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Lord willing. It may take us, at the speed we're going, it could take us years. However, who was teaching last week?
Scott Grant.
Scott Grant. And who knows what chapter of 1 Corinthians we're in? How many of you were here last week or think you might have been? This is the time to dust off the memory banks. Yeah, we're in 1 Corinthians. We finished chapter 2, which would correctly lead you to believe that we are now starting chapter 3. Now, the teacher's most painful question, Scott's not here today, but who remembers anything that Scott said last week?
He has no PowerPoints.
He had no PowerPoints. Yeah, yeah, Phil. Yeah, he talked about good mushrooms and bad mushrooms, and we need the Holy Spirit, so to speak, to teach us what is really good and what's not so good. Yeah, Beverly?
He talked about the Elephant Man and Romeo.
Yes, so he talked about sometimes in our own eyes we see ourselves as really unattractive, ugly, and God says, you know what, you are my precious child. You may see yourself as hideous, unworthy, you're struggling with self-esteem, you don't like yourself, self-loathing, self-hatred, self-contempt. And part of coming to Christ is starting to learn to see yourself in a new way. You are one of his precious children. The world may say you're a loser, a failure, a reject, you're a nobody. Guess what? The world is wrong. You're a precious child of God if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. He now sees you as one of his kids. He has embraced you into his family, embraced you into the body of Christ, into the church.
Okay.
Now, Paul is pretty hard-hitting. This letter has a lot of what are called corrective instructions. I need to correct you guys because you're going the wrong direction. Anybody here ever gone the wrong direction? The rest of you, I will give a sermon on lying. We've all made mistakes. One of the mistakes that the Corinthian church had gotten into, there were lots of divisions. There were lots of little groups in the church. You'll remember, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. My group is better than your group. Anybody ever been in a church like that, where some group felt they were better than some other group within the church? And if you haven't been in a church like that, you probably haven't been a Christian for very long. Little groups can develop, and there comes to be what we call an us-them mentality. There's us, and we're good, and there's them, and you know they're not quite so good. And that can help it happen in recovery ministry. We've got the upstairs group, and then we've got the upper room, and then we've got the lower room. You know, we've got the addicts. We used to say the addicts and the normies, right? I'm trying to get rid of that kind of thinking. The reality is there are just people who desperately need Jesus. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you've never had a drop of alcohol in your entire life. You desperately need Jesus, and that's the common denominator that does away with the us-them mentality that can start to create divisions within the church, and then divisions tear the church apart. Okay? So Paul says, listen, you guys have gotten into all sorts of divisions. That needs to stop. You need to get your eyes back on Jesus. Then he went into, anybody remember the foolishness of the cross? at the center of our message, keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we are forgiven through faith in Jesus' death for us. And through faith, we come into a living relationship with God. Christianity, in its most profound sense, is not a religion. It's a relationship. It is about entering into a living relationship with God. That's the main thing. The world says it's all foolishness. You Christians are a bunch of fools. Said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. The world looks at somebody nailed to some wood and said, you guys are nuts. You're crazy to believe that this is somehow important. And we say, you know what? This is the greatest wisdom there has ever been. And you are the ones who will ultimately be revealed to have been the ones who are foolish. Okay. Now, the problem that Paul gets into is that when we become Christians, we still are kind of listening to the world. We've spent our whole lives listening to the world. The Spirit of God has come into us. We're new creations in Christ, but we have an old body that is full of old thoughts, habits, ideas, ways of relating to people, and the world can keep trying to pull us in the wrong direction. This is what we call the natural man. I'm born again, but I'm in an old body, and there are lots of powers trying to pull me in the wrong direction. We used to talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is out there trying to pull you in the wrong direction. You see some of these ads on television. Old Milwaukee beer, it doesn't get any better than this. And I'm thinking, look, if it doesn't get any better than Old Milwaukee beer, we are all in a lot of trouble. But the world is sending you that message. Newport cigarettes, alive with pleasure. Absolute vodka, absolute heaven. The world is trying to exert its power over you. Okay, well, let's get into that. The problem in the church is, that Paul's going to say, and the problem with each of us, is that we allow ourselves to be continue to be influenced by the world rather than by the Spirit. And he's going to tell the Corinthians, this is what the sermon's entitled, I think. It's time to grow up. That some people come forward at an altar call to give their life to Christ, and then they just go on living like they've been living. I've got my eternal fire insurance. And Paul is going to tell them, it's time to grow up. It's time to mature in your faith. And he's going to tell them, you guys should have matured a long time ago. Or let me tell you, let me show you what he tells them. Okay? Arrest. We're going to be talking about arrested development. That means you should have grown up, but you haven't. Okay? He says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. I wanted to talk, he said, call some brothers. These are saved people. This is not unsaved people. You are, the word should be better, probably brethren, which includes women, so he's not just talking to the guys here. This is men and women. I wanted to talk to you like you're spiritual, like you're being led by the Spirit, but the reality is you're still being led by the flesh. You're still being attracted to the things of the world. You should have been ready for solid food by now, but you haven't grown up yet. Okay, what do you think of that? What's anybody here ever arrested development? I should have grown up. I'm still behaving. My wife says, you've never really grown up. You've just learned how to behave like an adult in public sometimes. Right, and the research, quite frankly, for addicts and alcoholics is that our emotional development gets arrested or stunted about the time we get heavily into drugs and alcohol. That's just what happens to your brain. And so I've got people in their 50s and 60s. I used to be a sixth grade teacher. And it prepared me well for recovery ministry. Because I would say some of my sixth graders were more emotionally mature, and I'm not going to name names, than some other people. So it's time to grow up because our development has gotten stunted. We're still acting like kids. There's drama. We'll get into some of the characteristics of that. Or what do you think? Arrested development. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature in Christ. It's time to start being led more by the Spirit and less by the flesh. Stop being so influenced by what the world is saying and how it's trying to attract you. Stop being shaped by your old ways of living. Those things need to be put to death. You need to be becoming more like Jesus, not just staying the old person you used to be. There was a hand up, Rick. Yell, talk loudly because it's my hearing. You know, I turned 69 this week, so it's getting worse, man. Yeah, yeah.
You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world, but we're surrounded by the world.
Yep.
It's very easy to get seduced by the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we've been in the world our whole lives, even though you might say, well, I've given my life to Christ, those things are still trying to exert their power over us. Okay. Other thoughts? I don't know your name.
Sandra.
Sandra, yeah.
I feel in a way that it seems like it's just, I keep expecting a different.
Yep. Yeah, if nothing changes, nothing changes. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. If you want a different kind of life, you've got to start led and empowered by the Spirit, seeking to live a different way. Yeah, Vicki?
Well, I'm not in a Bible study right now, and I really need to get into one.
Amen.
But I am so exhausted all the time. It's just hard.
Yeah.
To push myself to do that.
Well, and pray that God will give you the strength to do that. Let me give you Andy's theology here. I'll give you a little theology. Jeff Louie's here, who's a real theologian, so he can object afterwards. But God is seeking to deliver us from sin. Okay? The old-time preachers used to talk about what they called the penalty, the power, and the presence. The three P's. God wants to deliver us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and ultimately the presence of sin. When you place your faith in Jesus, at some moment in your life you placed your faith in Jesus, Jesus dealt with the penalty of your sin. Okay? It's paid. The price is paid. You have been forgiven. He also wants to deliver you from the power of sin. That is what is going on right now. You have been delivered from the penalty. You are being delivered from the power. And someday you will be delivered from the presence of sin. This is the process, the main starting point. Yeah, you need to be delivered from the penalty of sin. You need to be forgiven. That's why you put your faith in Jesus. But then you need to grow. You need to mature. You need to head for. This is what recovery is all about. It isn't just about stopping drinking. You need to change. Fearless moral inventory. You need to see about those things that have exerted power over you, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to say, God, please change me. This anger, this lust, this bitterness, these resentments, this hatred has held me for so long. Break the chain. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. That's what's going on now. You start by accepting Jesus, but that's just the first step in a life of faith where God wants to increasingly break the power of sin. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He's more powerful. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're more than conquerors in Christ. The stuff that's kept you down, but you need to deal with it. And he's saying the Corinthians are not dealing with their stuff. You should have grown up. You should have been dealing with your stuff so that God can ultimately make you more like Jesus. But you've gotten stuck in arrested development. Your growth has been stunted. Yeah, Bruce, you had a hand up or you were doing something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as Yeah. You have to go to some, you have to hang out with some people that have walked this walk so they can guide you and teach you in how to go in that direction.
Amen. Well, and again, yeah, Phil?
I think we may be talking about an intellectual trap here.
Okay.
For people that sin doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's why we need to get out of the trap of thinking that if I'm a good person, what I'm doing is good, because that's not true.
Yeah, and the Dr. Phil question, how's that working for you? We need to be relying more on the Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a second. But let me throw out a few churchy words for you just so you can kind of get some church vocabulary here. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Okay, this is if you're in your church vocabulary stuff. Justification has to do with the penalty. You have been justified just as if I'd never sinned. Okay? Sanctification has to do with the process whereby the power of sin is being broken. You have been justified, you are being sanctified, and someday when we enter into the presence of the Lord, we will be glorified, glorification. That has to do with our, we'll leave the presence of sin. Okay, so there's your theology class. And Jeff will give you details, or correct me if I'm wrong. This is a transformational process. Other places, like in 2 Corinthians, if we ever get there in 5 years, he talks about spiritual transformation. He says, and all we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, and the Greek word is metamorpho, into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The living God has come to dwell within you. He wants to make you more like Jesus. And you're not doing it. He's doing it. And the transformation is very much like the transformation, the metamorphosis from caterpillar to butterfly. It's a process. Thought there was a hand up or somebody scratched Julie? Yeah.
Because I gave you milk to drink, not solid food for you. Well, the Corinthians are too factionalized.
I think they're still being influenced too much by the world and by their flesh.
Okay, so I want the Thanksgiving dinner. Enough with the bottle already.
Give me the Thanksgiving meal. Forget about that baby bottle.
Food, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So give me the food. Like, what is
Well, and that's always, I think that's moving from the justification to the sanctification. It's growing up. The food is the actual transformation, spiritual transformation. There's a lot of books written about that. Now, you need to change. You need to, that's the meat is, let's get in and work on your stuff. Oh, and that's hard. Step four.
That's step 4 through 9.
Yeah. So this is why I'm saying, another word for sanctification is recovery. It's not just, I came to believe in a power greater than myself. It's like, let's start digging in. And he's telling them, you haven't gone beyond like steps 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that's the beginning.
Okay, there was a hand up back there. Was it Joy? Let me get, talk loud, Joy. Yeah, and you know, when it says, the song they sang, he's a good, good father. And Lord, help me to keep trusting you with that childlike faith, even when life is tough. And guess what? Life's going to show up for all of us. You're going to get the health problem, the financial problem, the relationship problem, the car's going to break down. Lord, help me to keep the faith, that childlike faith, even when life is hard. Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, I kind of say like the newborn baby that breastfed.
Yeah.
And then it really, really needs the milk, but it cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me kind of move it forward a little bit. A little side story here. 2008, I think it was, or 2009, we were with a team down in Colombia teaching teaching prison workers about Jesus. Okay, here's a picture of Colombia. Pereira. I can't say it right. Somebody can probably say it better than I did. We were teaching them about things like spiritual transformation. And this is the back of that same house, and you can see there's kind of a covered area, and that's where we would meet. And there was a guy, somebody who knows Conrad Shen, who's here? Conrad was part of the team, and Conrad's up there teaching, and Conrad was teaching about you're being changed from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Spiritual transformation, metamorphosis is taking place. A butterfly flies in through that kind of open area, lands on him. He brushes it off. It lands on his hand and stayed there throughout the entire rest of his teaching on being transformed from a caterpillar. That was one of those first... That was a full-on miracle. Everybody's running up going, this kind of butterfly never lands on anybody. It never stays there. And this butterfly's just basically stuck to his hand as he's talking about, you need to be transformed from a caterpillar into a... And God brings in the example, you know. So it was just kind of a very powerful thing. This is what God wants to do for you, is to change you in from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Stop staying like a caterpillar. But it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your self-effort. It's, Lord, help me to yield to you. Yeah, Kathy?
I was going to say, it takes a surrender and a cooperation.
Yes.
You can't do it, but you have to give yourself over to the process.
Yeah, and it's like, Lord, and that's why you come to the end of yourself. You know, somebody were talking earlier that, you know, how's it working for you? I need to change. I need to stop doing. And God says, just surrender to me. Stop fighting. Everybody's stubborn, but addicts and alcoholics are very stubborn. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, not even God. Well, how's that working for you? Surrender. Give up. God, please do something. I don't even know what it is. I want to be more like Jesus. Please change me. Here's a picture of somebody who's been changed. Look at it for a second. Right? The butterfly's being pulled over. The officer's looking at the light. It's an old photo, officer. Right? When people meet us, there should be something like this over time. They knew the old Andy when I was drunk and stoned and sleeping under a bridge and wanting to blow my brains out. And they say, what happened? And ultimately, I say, it's not what happened, it's who happened. Who happened is Jesus. Amen. Jesus came into my life, and they should see real change. Andy, you used to be a complete jerk, and now, well, you've improved somewhat. There's, you know, progress, not perfection, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. But when people haven't seen you for a while, they should notice that you have become more like Jesus. You're more like a butterfly and less like a caterpillar. All right, any thoughts on that before we move on to the particular problem in the Corinthian church? Going once, going twice, sold. Okay, back to the particular problem with the flesh that was going on in the Corinthian church. He says, for while there is still... is jealousy and strife among you? Are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? He says, here's the evidence that you're still being influenced more by the flesh than by the Spirit. There's lots of jealousy and lots of strife in your church. Those are outward signs that the flesh... is controlling and shaping you more than the Spirit. Jealousy is basically you want what somebody else has. Well, that group down the street, their church has more people than my church. And you're jealous because you want your church to have that many people. Okay? Envy is you not only want what they have, you don't want them to have it. Lord, please make their church smaller. No, see... So he's saying these groups within the church have gotten jealous of each other, and that's causing friction and strife and division because some groups are probably trying to steal. We call it sheep rustling. They're trying to steal sheep from other groups and make them their group bigger and so forth. sheep rustling. And one group in this church is going, well, I'm part of Paul's group. And the other group goes, well, I'm part of Apollos' group. And there's all this friction. He says, that's just an indication that your flesh is, I can't talk to you like spiritual people because you're so swallowed up in all the drama and all the chaos of this stuff that's going on. I can't even really talk to you like adults. You're acting like little kids. Okay? Thoughts on... Anybody ever experienced jealousy and strife and other things? Just Vern, okay? Let me... This actually, Oyvind, where's Oyvind? Oyvind read this passage this morning. Oyvind and I did not talk. But he read part of the things from Galatians 5, and I'm focusing on the part of the flesh. Well, how do you know if the flesh is controlling you and influencing you more? And Paul gives not a full list, but he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. It's clear, okay? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, and then the same words he just talked about in the Corinthian church. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I often ask the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is where step 4 AA, search me. This is where step 4 comes from in AA. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory. It's easy to blame other people. This person did. Ask God to search your heart, and then you're looking at that list of things of the flesh. Gee, is there any kind of sexual immorality in my life? Impurity, that's more kind of mental stuff, sexual fantasies, disgusting jokes, whatever. Impurity, sensuality, that means you've completely given yourself over to the ways of the flesh. Idolatry, something other than God is important in your most important in your life. Sorcery, enmity, strife, division, fits of anger, and all the rest of these. Oh my word, drunkenness. If these things are still there, you should be praying, God, take it away from me. God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I'm powerless, He's powerful. But ask yourself, Lord, search me, reveal these things to me, and then somehow, God, by your power, take them away. I don't want to live. That's the way you grow. Yeah, Bruce? Well, and that's what I'm saying. He's bringing them to light. Let's say you get really angry with somebody. And then later God goes, you know, I let that situation happen so that you could see just what an angry person you are. Oh, I didn't know I was that angry. Yeah, you are. And God says, I brought that to your attention. Now you can pray about it. And Lord, transform me. Take away the anger, whatever it is that I work mostly with men. The top two for men are sex and anger. Right, so the guys who come in my office, they're usually struggling with sexual things or with anger things. I asked my wife, I said, what do women struggle with? And she said, men. So, anyway. But that sort of thing, if you want to grow, if you want to stop being a baby, I mean, I'm glad you're a baby. You've been born. Hallelujah for babies. Our daughter is expecting our next grandkid in March. And, you know, so I'm glad for babies. But the babies need to grow up. There's a time to be a baby. There's a time to have a bottle. And there's a time to get a Thanksgiving meal, as Julie would said. And stop sucking on the bottle when you're 14 years old. You need to grow up. And this is how it occurs, is by God. Somebody called it pulling weeds and planting flowers. There's stuff in your life that God wants to remove, but there's also stuff that he wants to plant, the love, the joy, the peace. He wants to get some stuff out of your life. He wants to put some stuff in your life that you and I might be more like Jesus. That is the whole goal. Christ has come in us. He wants to make himself known through us. And God, help me to be more like you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to reveal himself through each person who has placed their faith in him. He wants to use you to make himself known to a lost, broken, and hurting world that desperately needs him. And you don't have to watch the evening news for very long to realize just how desperately the world needs Jesus. As the darkness gets darker, the light should shine more brightly. And help us, Lord, to be genuine followers, not phonies pretending. Make the love real, not just something I'm pretending. Surprise me with how much I actually care about people and how much I'm willing to sacrifice myself to bless them. There was the hand up over here. Yeah. What was the name?
Henry.
Timmy? Yeah.
Henry.
Henry. Sorry, Henry. He's looking. Yeah, Henry, go ahead. Sorry.
So, when you said earlier about try me, when he does that, it might not be a good thing. He might throw something at you that you...
He can give you a wake-up call.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, and not just the faith, but God, you've got to solve this. I don't have what it takes. I'm not smart enough. I'm sure not good-looking enough. But Lord, help me in this thing. You do for me. You're smarter than any genius who's ever existed. You're more powerful than any person who's ever lived. And you want to help me with my life. But a lot of times he'll wake us up in a pretty... God will be as gentle as he can be. But if you don't wake up with gentle, he can hit you with the side of the head with a whatever and get you snapped out of it. And basically tell you, have I got your attention now? And if you keep going down the road, the next consequence will be even worse. So why don't you turn around now? The word repent means you turn, about face. You've been going down the wrong road and God's been yelling at you and yelling at me. Turn around, turn around. You're going down the wrong road. But for some of us, you almost have to go off a cliff. And then God finally says, are you listening now? I tried to stop you, but you wouldn't listen. Will you listen now? And for most of us addicts, the end of the road is jails, institutions, and death. You're going to end up in jail or an institution like a hospital or a psych ward, or you're going to end up dead. And God doesn't want you to go down that road. So he grabs your attention. Yeah, Vicki?
I have a real life example.
Okay.
Parking lot across from McDonald's under a tree. He was doing something that wasn't Christian-like. Mm-hmm. And a tree fell on his car, which was his house. Mm-hmm. And that woke him up. He said God was talking to him. And that was the only way God could get his attention was to drop a tree limb on his house.
To drop a tree limb on his car in the parking lot. But for all of us, it's God is acting out of love. He's a loving father, and he disciplines us for our own good. It's not that he's a dad with a big stick who wants to beat you up. It's, I want to correct you. You need to stop going down this road. You've been doing it for decades. Isn't it about time for you to grow up and head in a new direction with your life, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit? That's what he's calling. And let me kind of pull around. We got the last verses here. Part of it, when there's divisions within the church, is to realize that we're basically on the same team. Okay, it's not us, them. We're on the same team. This is people in the same army. You don't shoot people in your own army, right? And this is what he's going to try to remind them when it comes to Paul and Apollos. He's going to say, these are not enemies. These are brothers. They're on the same team. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We're engaged. Each person here has different spiritual gifts. Somebody's a hand, somebody's a foot, somebody's an ear. We're not enemies. We're part of the same larger body. And as we work together, God accomplishes his purposes in the same way that somebody plants, somebody waters, but ultimately the credit goes to God. Remembering that these brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is hard sometimes when you're in the thick of a disagreement with some other Christian, to remember this is a family disagreement. It's not a disagreement between believers and heretics, for example. These are genuine brothers and sisters in Christ. They are works in progress. I'm a work in progress. On our Thursday group, we're going through Ephesians, and in chapter 4, he says, live a life that is worthy of the calling you have received. In all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Remember, we're all part of the same team. Help us to be humble. Help us to be gentle. Help us to be patient with each other. And forbearing, the word actually means hanging in there. Hanging in there with people with love, because we're all works in progress. Yeah, bud?
So we have to agreeably disagree.
And I disagree with people who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Believe me, I have some disagreements with them, and especially, quite frankly, on doctrinal issues. And then ultimately I'm saying, I trust that this person really does believe in Christ. I believe in Christ. Lord, if you need to change them, please change them. If I'm the one who needs to change, please change me. If both of us need to change. Because God isn't saying yes and no. Right? So if one person's hearing yes and the other person's hearing no, somebody's not listening to God. But to hang in there with people as they're, and praying that they'll hang in there with me. With whatever my shortcomings. People tell me, oh, Andy, you're a great guy. And I say, go talk to my wife for a while. Right? So part of that is we need to remember, Paul goes on in Ephesians 4 about keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, help us to keep the unity even when there's stuff going on that's threatening to divide us. Any kind of last thoughts? I think we're going to do, I see communion stuff out. Is that... that going to happen? Lost thoughts, comments, observations. I always tell with Ed. Ed never raises his hand. Ed goes like this. And I know he... Yeah, Ed?
Well, I'm sort of a thought behind...
Go for it. Yeah, hop on in.
When you read the list of Galatians 5...
Yep.
I'm bankrupt. I'm finished.
Yep.
You have to do something.
Yep. Yes, and that's the deal. Save yourself. You can't sanctify yourself. Both of those are the work of God, and it comes with the surrender piece of I give up. Put a fork in me. I'm done on both sides. Help me to yield to you. And then my prayer, and I tell this to everybody, pray this. Do whatever it takes to make me more like Jesus. And then fasten your safety belt. But that should be our core prayer as Christians. I want to be more like Jesus, and I can't do it. But you can. He who has begun a good work will complete it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to transform us. But the yielding part, help me to yield to you so I don't stay immature. I want to grow up. I want to stop being an infant, and I want to become a mature man or woman of Christ. Here, let me pray. Lord, I do thank you for this passage, and I pray that your Holy Spirit has been at work, that we're not just talking, Lord, but I pray in the midst of the talking, you have been making yourself known to each one of us, And in those areas of our lives where we need to change, we need to grow up. As Bruce was saying, please make those clear to us, bring them to our mind, and then help us to call out to you. Lord, take this stuff from me. It's been after me my whole life. I don't know what to do about it, but you do, and I'm going to trust you for a miracle in my life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.